National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Emily Minney. Victoria's run of no local cases of the virus has come to an end, with a man testing positive after completing 14 days quarantine in Perth. Health Minister Martin Foley says the man stayed in a room adjacent to a positive case in a quarantine hotel where the virus spread between guests in separate rooms. New South Wales has also recorded transmission within hotel quarantine, sparking concern over the effectiveness of the system. The man flew from Perth to Melbourne on Wednesday and was alerted by authorities upon landing. Mr. Foley says the new case is a timely reminder the pandemic is not over.
The message to Victorians is this is still a long way to go. You can help in making sure that we all stay safe by continuing to follow the now much more relaxed COVID-safe rules.
In other coronavirus news, New South Wales is scrambling to eliminate any threat of community transmission of the virus after most crew members on a ship which docked in Port Botany for a day tested positive. 11 of the 15 dock workers who were present when the ship docked on March 31st have tested negative. The former Prime Minister says he's disappointed in Australia's hesitation to commit to net zero emissions targets following a virtual climate summit led by the US. US President Joe Biden called a meeting of 40 nations and the world's worst polluters to discuss solutions to curb greenhouse emissions. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has pledged $500 million to clean energy projects, but stopped short of committing to a target despite the US declaring it will halve its emissions by 2030. Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd told the ABC the government needs to improve its approach to cutting greenhouse emissions.
The planet doesn't wait for Mr. Morrison to say, well, hydrogen will come on stream next year and our coal reduction targets will come on stream in Y year. What we've had from Mr. Morrison instead is frankly just a bunch of politically driven posturing.
Nationals leader Michael McCormack has described retiring MP George Christensen as a true local champion after the controversial MP announced he will not be contesting the next election. From Canberra, Amanda Kopp reports.
Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack has wished George Christensen well in his life after politics, saying he was a tireless fighter for his community. The Queensland MP has been in politics for more than a decade, but says it's become impossible to advance some conservative issues like enshrining religious freedom and freedom of speech, protecting the unborn and promoting the coal industry. He says he wants to spend more time with his family, which has been separated during the pandemic. He holds his seat of Dawson by a whopping 14.5%, something the Nationals will hope to continue with a new candidate. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
Turning to sport, and cricketer Virat Kohli has made history in the Indian Premier League, becoming the first batsman to score 6,000 runs. But the milestone was upstaged by 20-year-old Devdutt Padikkal, who hit 101 runs off just 52 deliveries, becoming the youngest batsman to score a century during an IPL chase. Kohli scored 72 not out while batting alongside Padikkal, the pair taking the Royal Challengers Bangalore to a 10-wicket win over the Rajasthan Royals.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's five minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Matt and Mario. Looking forward to talking to you guys on this lovely Friday afternoon. It's currently sitting at 20 degrees, although it's feeling a bit warmer. It's quite sunny out there today. Today we're going to have a top of 23. It's a bit hazy. Saturday, tops of 23. Sunday, tops of 22, mostly sunny. And Monday, top of 22 as well. Apologies.
No, it's okay. My mic doesn't work either. My mic doesn't work.
Today's bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
Fuck. What am I doing?
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Up in Springwood, the Great Western Highway approaching Ferguson Road, there's been a crash of two cars, westbound traffic affected. You might want to exercise caution and reduce your speed over there. In Pitt Town, Eldon Street at Chatham Street, there's been a crash of a truck. Road closed in all directions. There's been emergency services there today. Allow extra travel time. Avoid the area and exercise caution. And lastly, in Ryde, on Lane Cove Road at Tung Street, there's been some emergency road work there as well. On exercise caution and expect delays moving forward there. This is Business Insights with Matt and Mario here on this Friday afternoon. Mario, how are you feeling today?
I can't complain today, but my mic, isn't my mic working?
It is.
It is working? I can't hear myself, it doesn't matter, so like, it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario Matt, and I do apologize, I just had technical issues in my headsets and my mic for some reason. But I'd like to invite you, all of you guys, come to the website Align 90.5 Business Insights. And our website align905.com.au, and you can tune in directly with Matt and Mario. And our first guest is patiently waiting on our line. But Matt and I, we're going to talk the second hour. But before that, we'll take a short break.
Sounds good, Mario. I'm looking forward to it. Hope you guys enjoy the song. This is The Business by Tiësto.
Alive 90.5.
Sam Ramone is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramone from Cherrybrook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
Hey Gary, what time you call this?
Yeah, the traffic was really bad. Oh, there's Steve-o. G'day, Steve.
Morning.
How's your weekend?
Same old, same old.
What'd you get up to?
Not much.
Are you okay, mate?
Looking out for one another is something we all need to do. So if a mate's struggling, ask, are you okay? Listen, encourage action, and check in again soon. Those four steps could change their life. Find out more at ruok.org.au.
Uncle. Stay with us, guys.
Welcome back to the studio. My name is Mario Beckes, and my co-host, Matt Caruana. We just have some small technical issues on our panel. But we apologize for that one. I'd like to welcome you in the studio, Business Insights with Mario and Matt, and Live 905.com.au website. You can tune in directly. And our guest, who is impatiently waiting online, his name is Evan. Evan, welcome to the studio.
Yes, thank you, Mario. It's great to be part of your program. Much appreciated.
That's a great one, Evan. Look, I just noticed today that in Adelaide, you guys, do you have the nice weather or not?
It's not too bad today. It's about 20 degrees, which is a bit of a surprise. It's been raining the last few days and cold. And we had the other day the coldest morning of the year, so 6 degrees. But I love the cold weather, so...
that's a good one, eh? That's good, Evan, and thank you for being with us. Thank you for accepting to be interviewed today in the studio. For all listeners, you know, there's a plenty of the intrigue background of yours. But Evan, for all listeners, do you mind to introduce yourself?
Yes, okay. So before I introduce myself, I just want to welcome everybody. So I'm going to actually say some welcomes in a few different languages. So first I'm going to say Way Nyura Palya, which is in indigenous welcome from the Kaurna people, who are the traditional owners of the land here where I live in the western suburbs of Adelaide. I also want to say Dobri Utra, which I believe is hello or welcome in Bosnian.
Yes.
Is that correct, Maria?
That's correct, yes. That's correct, yes.
For our Italian friends, buongiorno. Good morning, everyone, because actually here in Adelaide it is still morning. Also want to say in Greek, which is my cultural background, so I'm Greek Australian, born in Australia obviously, but of Greek heritage, so Kalispera and Galosurisade.
Yes.
Again, in Italian you want to say Signore and Signore, benvenuti a tutti a questo magnifico occasiano.
You're very
multicultural.
Multilingual, multicultural.
And also finally just a little bit for our Middle Eastern friends, Akla Wasakla, Kif Saka. So just mean basically welcome and hello.
Yeah, okay, Matt, do you have any questions for the Evan while we have online for the first question?
Absolutely, Evan, it's lovely to talk with you. Firstly, Yasu. I'm half Greek myself.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
My first question for you is, so Evan, tell me, what does multiculturalism mean to you?
Okay, so basically multiculturalism is one of those words that's been thrown around for quite a few years. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it actually means. So you can ask down the street and ask 10 different people what multicultural means to them, and you get 10 different answers. Basically, the official definitions of multiculturalism and what it actually does mean to mean is that it can be understood on three different levels, basically. So firstly, it's a demographic description of the cultural and linguistic diversity of Australia. So basically, we are very diverse in Australia. Obviously, we have people here from so many different countries. It's also a social philosophy, valuing the cultural and linguistic diversity within a framework of shared values, also aiming to achieve harmony. And most importantly, a lot of people don't realise that it's actually a government policy which provides for the needs of the diverse society, supporting cohesion and unity within diversity. So that government policy part is fairly unique because... if you look at many countries around the world, let's look at Israel, probably is one of the most diverse countries in the world. You've got America, you've got Germany, for example. So let's look at Germany. So Germany have a lot of migrant workers from Turkey and from Spain who come and work in the factories there, in the manufacturing industries. So to actually become a German citizen is very, very hard. So they welcome you to become a worker there, but to become actual citizenship and become part of the German society, you probably have to wait three generations. So probably your grandkids, maybe great-grandkids, can become citizens. So in terms of multiculturalism, it's a government policy here in Australia. I think there was a report back in 1979, the Galbally Report, I believe.
Yes.
Where both government houses, the Labor and Liberal, etc., both decided and voted in, yes, we approved multiculturalism as a government policy. So that's basically the difference between multiculturalism and, let's say, what diversity is all about.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, Evan, stay with us online. We take a short break. You know, we can. But before we go, just to clarify for our listeners, thanks to Evangeli Fangos, we have the listeners all across the world. Evan, who is listening to us from your side of the friends and colleagues and family, and which country?
Okay, so I've got actually people listening right now from big shout out to Gary Host. They actually work on community radio myself, so I use my radio voice to say this. You're listening to Mario Beckers.
Ah, yes, that's correct. Just give us more.
FM and special guest Evan Frangos from South Australia talking about all things cultural. So that's a little bit of my radio voice.
Yes.
So I've got friends listening right now from America, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh. I've got friends listening in Greece, Greek islands. Also, I have quite a few friends in Spain, Israel, Germany, and I've got a couple in South America as well that are listening and tuning online. So welcome to you all. It's around midday here in the south in Australia, in Sydney, and it's a fantastic program. You're tuning in. Make sure you lock in that radio station, download the app, and hold on and listen to our program.
Evan, I'm flabbergasted. Thank you very much, Matt. We take a short break.
That sounds good.
Stay with us, listening, co-interview with Evangeli Frangos from Adelaide, live, exclusive for alive905.com.au, Business Insights with Matt and Mario. We'll take a short break and continue. Multiculturalism, diversity, and nevertheless, from the expert Evangeli Frangos, Business Insights with Mario and Matt.
Alive 90.5.
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
SE Timbers Castle Hill are flooring experts. Not just flooring, SE Timbers supply, install and guarantee solid timber, engineered, laminate and vinyl flooring, as well as carpet, blinds and shutters. An authorised dealer of major brands like Boral, Preference and Quickstep. Call 98946660 or visit setimbers.com.au to arrange a free quote today. Station sponsor, SE Timber Floors and Shutters, ingrained quality.
It's 22 minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Matt and Mario. Here we are interviewing Evan Frangos, very blessed to. Evan, you've given us a very, very, very descriptive, detailed definition of what multiculturalism means. I'm curious, what is its significance and importance to you?
Okay, so the importance to me comes in many different facets, but it's really about cultural diversity and how we as Australians and how we have managed that that particular concept of how we actually got to the point in terms of having multiculturalism policy. So, just to give a bit of a rundown, before the first fleet came, there was obviously the indigenous cultures, and there was over basically 200 diverse indigenous cultures. When the first fleet came to Australia, in fact, on the first fleet, a lot of people don't know this fact, but there were actually convicts from 26 different cultures on that first fleet. So
wow.
it was actually multiculturalism by conviction, in other words. So we were fairly diverse from the start. And the way Australia tried to manage this was firstly they brought in this assimilation policy. So basically they said that all the people from overseas coming to Australia would have to actually leave their culture and their language at the door and assimilate and become true blue Aussies. Now obviously that policy didn't work. They couldn't become part of the dominant group because there's obviously not only a bit of racism back then and obviously people weren't prepared to just forget their language and culture, and that didn't work. So the government then went on and came up with this concept of synthesis or melting pot. So they said, okay, let's mix all the cultures together and let's, like, big melting pot, stir everybody up, and then we'll come up with one dynamic and unique type of Australian. Of course, that didn't work because a lot of people couldn't just give up their culture and blend in and become the part of a melting pot. And so then the policy after that was of separatism. So when they thought in the 40s and 50s, let's separate people when they come from overseas. So I'll give you a quick example of what happened in Adelaide. In the 50s, a lot of Greeks and Italians and Serbian, Yugoslav, Croatians came to Adelaide. And so ship that came, they got all the Greeks and Italians, and they took them to a place in Adelaide which is called Victoria Square, which is in the heart of Adelaide. And they said, okay, someone got up under a big chair and said, screamed out, I think it was the mayor at the time, and they said, okay, all you Greeks that have come from Greece, you will head down to the western suburbs down here. And that was like suburbs like Mile End and Torrensville, etc., in the western part of Adelaide. So you all go live down there, and all you Italians, you go up to the northeast, so into suburbs like Campbelltown and around Newton and all those suburbs there. So that's how originally some of the Adelaide suburbs were sort of segregated and split. So I thought the Greeks and Italians were fighting back in World War II, so we'll separate them so there's no drums. But in fact, that policy didn't work either because people, you know, want to move around and there were intermarriages, etc. So that policy, you know, definitely like the one in South Africa, didn't work. And then obviously it evolved into the multiculturalism policy where we accept and value people from all cultures, and you're allowed to have your own language and religion and respect people's culture and religion. That was the way it evolved. So that's a bit of a, you know, like the cultural diversity, you know, is a big issue, and it's how we manage it in this country and how it's evolved, which has been a fantastic thing over time.
There's a lot there to unpack, discover, and even go further into if we could. Yeah, wow. Thanks for sharing.
I don't know the same happened in Sydney, whether when the first people came to Sydney, whether they were separated to different suburbs, because you'll find in a lot of different suburbs all over Sydney, there are sort of congregations of people from different ethnic backgrounds sort of mixed into, you know, concentrated in certain suburbs. So whether that was a government thing or whether it happened naturally, I'm not 100% what happened over where you are, but certainly it did happen in Adelaide.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So I'm curious, multiculturalism, is that the same as cultural diversity?
Basically, so once again, just to go through it, so cultural diversity is that people always talk about cultural diversity and they mix it up with the concept of multiculturalism. Cultural diversity is a demographic description of the cultures and the language diversity in Australia. So we have, you know, people here from hundreds of different cultures, basically, and the multiculturalism part of it is how we actually manage that, how the government manages that diversity.
So Evan, can I interrupt today? What do you think how the multiculturalism is so far managed in Australia?
It's managed fairly well. I mean, as I said, it is a government policy. We have, for example, in the schools, we have languages taught in schools. We have ESL programs, English as second language programs. We have also opportunities for people from different backgrounds to get into leadership and management. And
so do you believe that my statement that quite often I stipulate this when I'm in, you know, engaging in public conversations or public speaking on whatever these types, I always say that people in Australia, they don't know how lucky they are. Would you agree with me or disagree?
Yeah, it's very true, very true. So, you know, you can be either inclusive or you can be exclusive. So if you want to exclude people, and in some countries they do this, they exclude people from particular cultural groups to be able to have access to services, have access to funds, to have access to high-ranking positions. You'll see in some countries that often you have the immigrant workers working in the lower paid jobs.
That's correct.
And there's very, very limited opportunities to rise up unless you're part of the dominant group. Whereas in Australia, we've grown to now see and evolve to have people from diverse cultural backgrounds be able to move into politics, move into high order management positions, chief executives, etc. I mean, look at yourself, Mario. You're in a very good position, of course. Obviously, if you were in a different country, maybe it would have been different and harder for you.
Evan, I couldn't agree with you more, because I said, like, you know, I come in Australia under totally different circumstances. I come as a part of diplomatic corps and diplomatic passport, and you know, I never expect I'm going to stay in Australia. But one thing I remember, I fall in love with Australia, not very instantly, but you know, very few weeks afterwards, I said, like, these people here just like, who they think they are, because everybody's so happy. And no, seriously, and I mean, everything is possible. And then, you know, you don't see things like I saw in Europe, particularly across the Asia or Africa where I was working as well. And the thing is, when I stay in Australia, I always come back to the one point, I will never succeed in Croatia on a level I was successful in Australia, because it took me time to understand society and a society understands me. You know, not just English barrier, but, you know, as you said, you are exclusive or inclusive, but let's go speak about inclusivity. How can we better understand cultural inclusivity?
Okay, so basically, inclusivity is one of those terms, again, that gets bandied around, and I've used it a lot. I've done a lot of research over the last 30 years in that, especially in the education system, on how can we be more culturally inclusive with our young people to ensure we get the best out of them.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it's a core competency. It responds to the multicultural and multilingual nature of Australia.
Yeah.
It basically strives to ensure that cultural perspectives are reflected. So in the curriculum, for example, at school, you know, we talk about, you know, what happens. What are some examples of some practices in other countries and cultures that we can look at and model and utilize, etc., and value that, and not just teach the curriculum from a dominant perspective. It also implies that, you know, we give the best opportunity for everybody to be engaged. We value and affirm the languages and the diversity in the community. We include other people's viewpoints. In a business place, for example,
yes,
a manager may have a meeting and include the knowledge and experiences of his staff or her staff in the way the organization is run. And also change in attitudes occur through this and through this appreciation. So people learn about other cultures. So it's like an intercultural learning We learn about other people. We better understand other people and their languages and their religion, etc. And it's for the benefit, obviously, for everybody to have that extra knowledge and be familiar with other people and their cultural beliefs and values.
Thank you, Ewan. Thank you very much.
Sounds like something of great value to each and every person here. Yeah, wow. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks, Evan. So, yeah, well, it's 29 minutes to one here on Alive 9.5. Business Insights with Matt and Mario. Interviewing Evan Frangos. We're very, very blessed to. Got an interesting conversation coming up. Already been, if it hasn't been interesting enough. Stay tuned, guys. 29 minutes.
We'll take a short break here.
Cafe Lombardi Roasters, located in Blacktown, wholesale coffee roaster dedicated to providing customers with products and services needed to serve an excellent coffee. Providing homes and offices with special crafted blends of coffee in biodegradable Nespresso capsules in all your favourite cafe products. Order today, cafelombardiroasters.com.au. 0405016216 for your home coffee experience. The only coffee subscription you need is Cafe Lombardi Roasters, station sponsor, supporting the Sydney Children's Hospital Foundation with a portion of sales donated to...
Hi, it's Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. Did you know you can extend your swimming season, reduce maintenance and chemicals with a pool roller and blanket from Dural Pool Shop? An extensive range of pool blankets, including Daisy Pool Covers, Australia's favourite pool cover, is available to view on our website, duralpoolshop.com.au. Or call me or one of our team on 9651 4799. With the current restrictions, why not enjoy your pool longer.
A proud station sponsor.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
Why? 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 I love you.
90.5.
It's 24 minutes to one here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Here we're interviewing Evan Frangos, having a very interesting conversation so far on cultural diversity, sorry, multiculturalism, cultural diversity, yes, and cultural inclusivity. But Evan, I'm curious now. So how can we all be more culturally aware?
That's a good question.
Okay, that's a very good question. So basically, you can do it on a couple of levels. So if you're, say, like a manager or a business owner, etc., so one thing I suggest about being more culturally aware is firstly thinking about and collecting cultural data. So basically what that means is, you know, have a chat to your colleagues, your workers or your friends, whatever, from a different background. Ask them, so what's it like in your family? Tell us about how your family works. Is it an extended family? Is it a nuclear family? You get to learn a lot about that. Also, you know, if they're into the religion, when do they have meal times, bedtime prayers, etc. So right at the moment, it's the Ramadan for our people of Islamic faith. So that started on 12th of April to the obviously the 12th of May. So being aware of that also helps in a lot of different regimes. So if you're, for example, again, a business owner, or you're running a radio station or whatever, and you want to interview someone from an Islamic background, probably the best time to do that would be like 9 a.m. in the morning, because often during Ramadan you're only allowed to eat at night in the dark times, and so obviously people would be at their most alert at 9 in the morning instead of saying let's catch up at 4 p.m. which is still long. Remember, we're probably at their worst in terms of concentration. So learning from that perspective is very important, building rapport, building the relationships. And also, so being culturally aware also means that you check on your assumptions about other people and how what people do and their behaviours. So you observe that, ask questions. So for example, right now, I've got in my hand, you can hear this noise here, that's my worry bead that I'm playing around with. Okay, so if I'm flicking this around and I'm having a business meeting with you, Mario, for example,
yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean that I'm trying to deflect my answers to you if you're investigating me, or if you ask me questions?
Or
you're trying to put you off, or I'm trying to use it as a weapon? So obviously, you know, check, you know, what is that? Is that from your culture? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, be culture aware. Ask those questions. I might be wearing this thing around my neck, which is called the evil eye. So it's a little thing made of different circles. So in Middle Eastern cultures and Greek culture, we have this thing called the mati, or the evil eye. So that sometimes helps us to give us good luck, so we don't get someone cursing us or giving us bad luck. So again, you might see that, and then, again, be culturally aware. Ask, what, you know, you're wearing that thing around your neck. Can you tell me the significance so I can learn something? So try to learn from people and talk to people.
Okay. Be aware of, but Evan, if I may interrupt you, like, you know what I mean? I just want to interrupt you for the second. I never encountered the interview as I'm talking right now to you. The person who talks with so much energy and passion about something. Where is this coming energy and passion about multiculturalism, Evan, to yourself?
Okay, so basically the origins of it all, when I was at high school many years ago, it was a time in the late 70s when there was a lot of racism against Greeks, Italians, and back then Yugoslavs, which was obviously Serbian, Croatian.
Yes.
Yes. Basically, we had a lot of racism, and I, being born in Australia, I had often a lot of other friends of mine, or so-called friends, saying, you know, you bloody this, bloody that, go back to your own country. You know, what are you doing here? Blah blah blah. And I used to say, I was born, I'm just like you. We're born in the same hospital down the road. What's the issue? And you know, that sometimes led to fights and all sorts of things, unimaginable things. Often we had teachers. I had teachers throw dusters at us and chalk at us. And the teachers used to tell us, "Oh, you Greek boys, you're just going to end up driving taxis or go run your dad's fish and chip shop when you grow up. So you might as well leave school now." And I had quite a few friends that were in year 10. And actually dropped out early because I've been harassed every day by teachers and by the system. And walking home, we used to get attacked and bashed, etc. So we had to become good fighters, etc. So this passion of arose from the fact that I've seen so much exclusion happening in the school system and through people in the community, that it actually turned into a passion. So when I actually I did my science degree in geoforensics, and I went and did my master's in multicultures, etc. and started writing in the education department, started writing curriculum documents, etc., about multiculturalism and cultural inclusivity, how to make people feel included, not excluded. And so that's where the passion came from, to try and counter, it's like a forensic countermeasure, to try and counteract all the negativity that I've seen in my early years, to try and turn that around. And I helped write the anti-racism policy in Adelaide, and also we had a multiculturalism in education policy that I helped to write and join a lot of boards, etc., to support students from non-English speaking better, because I saw a lot of students with so much potential. I had some friends back in Year 10 that were like so clever and could have been doctors and lawyers and whatever they wanted to be, but they ended up in that self-fulfilling prophecy and became taxi drivers and working in their dads and their parents' fish and chip shops, etc., because that's what they were told. They said, no, you're not good enough. You ethnics are not good enough. You just get out of our face. And that was from the school system, from friendship groups, and, you know, society at the time.
Wow, it's amazing. It's just these passing comments end up being fulfilling prophecies, and they weren't just passing comments and passing jokes. They ended up being a reality for some of these people. And so... From your perspective, Evan, would you say these jokes, these comments, they're beyond just the joke? They're beyond just that? And maybe we should watch it?
Yeah, so the whole thing about jokes, and there's people saying about Irish jokes and this joke, and so all these ethnic jokes going around, at the end of the day, there's always a hidden message behind a joke. So sometimes some people take that and it goes into their subconscious and they think, well, maybe the teacher's right. Maybe I am useless, and maybe I can't do maths and science and get, well, even though I want to go to become a lawyer or a doctor, I might be capable, but there's no hope for me. So, you know, I'll leave school and just start working, because I've been told that from every teacher in the school, and have things thrown at me, and I've been told off. So the more you get told off and yelled at and things thrown at you, then you start missing school, because you don't want to go to school to, and this is the problem in, you know, and still happens today, believe it or not, in some places around Australia. The kids get disenchanted with their learning because they're told, or the message is, you know, you're not welcome here, or, you know, you're on the outer, and, you know, the
that's still a thing today, you think? Even though we've progressed all this time, it's still happening, is it?
Yeah, it's still happening. I was in the education department until recently, and I've seen lots of cases that still there is certain groups that are marginalised, and not only from an ethnic background, but students that are from an impoverished background or have other issues in their life are often disconnected from the school system, and they don't want to go to school because they don't want to get bullied or harassed, etc. And still, schools are still catching up on that, and we haven't really achieved the level of, even though the school may have a no bullying policy or whatever, often the action that the school does.
So, Evan, you know, before we take a break, you know, I do just want to ask you, you know, how do you combine your work, because you have a very successful private investigative agency, I do apologize, with that multiculturalism. How do you stay, you know, positive when you see, you know, we do investigations that, you know, something because of the racial or some other type of the background, we're being discriminated, and then you see this in your line of work? How do you approach that situation? Okay.
So what I do, my approach when I do investigations, I try, I've developed some of my own checklists and content, which I'll go into an investigation, yes, for example, and I make sure that the investigation that I conduct is a culturally inclusive education. Often, investigation, we're told, go and find out the where, the what, the when, the why, the how,
yes,
etc. That's a very linear approach to investigation. So what I mean is you get to the point, basically. So this is how, when I talk about cross-cultural communication, I try, first of all, probably my first 20, 30 minutes when I meet someone to investigate, I'll probably take them a box of vanilla biscuits, Greek biscuits, and say, this is part of my culture. We'll sit down
very, very calm, because, you know, apart from you have education, you have work experience, you do have, you know, you've been exposed to multiculturalism, and yeah, then you can apply most. And I'm employing everybody who's considering any training, understanding multiculturalism and how to benefit your organization, understand, yeah, the positive and negative things. Please contact Evangeli Frangos, who is going to give us his details before the end of the interview. We take a short break. You're listening to 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And Matt is going to take us through the break. Matt?
Let's take it away.
surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times I stopped keeping track. Talk myself in, I talk myself out. I get all worked up, then I let myself down. I tried so very hard not to lose it. I came up with a million excuses. I thought of every possibility. And I know someday that it'll all turn up. You'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, that I'll get so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet. I might have to wait, I'll never give up. I guess it's half timing and the other half's luck. Wherever you are, whenever it's right, you'll come out of nowhere and into my life. And I know that we can be so amazing. And baby, your love is gonna change me. And now I can see every possibility. Somehow I know that it'll all turn out. And you'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, I'll give so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet. They say all's fair in love and war, but I won't need to fight. Every single possibility. And someday I know it'll all turn out. And I'll work to work it out. Promise you, kid, I'll give more than I get. Than I get, than I get. Just haven't met you yet. I just haven't met you yet. Oh, I promise you, kid, to give so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet.
Alive 90.5.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insight Intelligence.
Station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
This Anzac Day, Sunday the 25th of April,
Castle Hill RSL sub-branch invites you together with family and neighbours to light up the dawn. Regrettably, due to COVID-19 restrictions, there will not be a dawn service at the Centenary of Anzac Reserve in Wrights Road at Kellyville. However, the ABC will be broadcasting the Sydney Dawn Service live from 4:30 a.m. Please light up the dawn in the hills this Anzac Day to remember our fallen, lest we forget. This has been a community service announcement on behalf of Castle Hill RSL and Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.
We're back to the studio listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights, and Matt and Mario sitting here behind the desk and talking to Evangeli Frangos in Adelaide Live exclusively. Matt, do you have any questions more before we close the first hour for our guest Evangeli Frangos?
Absolutely. So if...
Thank you very much. That will be it. Thank you, Evan, for being our guest.
Oh, boy. All right, so Evan, if I'm a leader or a manager in a workplace, how can I ensure that, you know, it's a supportive work environment for everyone?
Okay, so this is one thing that I've been asked many times when I've done my rounds, not only in business, in investigation firms and other places. So how can we tell if this environment, how are we doing in terms of being supportive in this environment in terms of culture and inclusive of diversity? So I've designed a list of indicators of supportive work environments, and I've put them into four sections. One's about staff training, one's about work climate, management and workplace practices. I won't go through all of them, but I'm happy to email this document to you guys and you can then forward it to whoever wants it. It's something that obviously is going to go around to a few businesses and government bodies for them to look at and maybe implement as part of the auditing structures. So basically, just to look at a couple of points from the staff training programs. So often, if you're a manager or a leader in an organization and you have some people that are from non-English speaking background working for you, and if some of them, for example, their English is not the best, minimal English, or they just recently arrived, one thing that you could do is have appropriate English language support for employees of new arrivals who have lower literacy levels. So as part of a training program, you can set up and have tutors come in and support people learning English and develop their English skills, because obviously a better understanding of English will help them in the workplace as well and in their future. And also, and the reverse of that is also supporting people having appropriate languages other than English programs for employees not proficient in their first language. A lot of the research that we've done shows that if you're not proficient in your first language, and a lot of people have come to Australia from refugee camps or have left early, and they haven't fully understood their first language, they may be able to speak it, but they can't write it. People that aren't good in their first language find it difficult to become proficient in a second language. So as in a workplace, if you can provide some language classes of the what was called mother tongue, but we can't say mother tongue anymore, obviously, because we have to be political. The language one, L1 we'll call it. So if you can provide some support there, that shows that that work environment is trying to be very culturally inclusive and supportive. In terms of the work climate, showing pride that the organisation where you're working at, showing pride in the culture heritage of the employees, they accurately pronouncing names properly. So often, I've been to workplaces where I've been places. My full name is Evangelos, and I'm like, Evangelos, well, that's too hard to say. Can we call you Evan or Ev or whatever? So again, having that accurate pronunciation is very important, and you're valuing that person's background and name. So open friendship groups amongst employees. Also, if there's a reduction in complaints of racism or sexual harassment in the workplace, that is also a good indicator that the place is very proactive about that. And also having welcoming signs in diverse languages at the front office, the front area, the front of house. I mean, having the welcome, like I did this earlier today, the dobro and the parispera and all that, having signs like that in your front foyer. I mean, I don't know if you have it at your radio station, but that would be fantastic if you have guests coming to your station and there's signs in 5 or 10 different languages. People look at that straight away and go, wow, this place is really switched on. And also the other point in that is if you're going to have any staff functions or picnics or whatever, make sure that there's an element of cultural appreciation. I remember going a couple of weeks ago to a staff picnic here in Adelaide, and the manager said to me, look at those Vietnamese men. Isn't it great that they're actually playing cricket? And I said, well, Wouldn't it be even better if the Vietnamese men were actually teaching the rest of the people how to play some Vietnamese games? So it's about how you look at it. So, you know...
Oh, that's a very interesting observation.
Yeah, so having the Vietnamese playing cricket is all well and good, but that's almost like, you know, what he's trying to say, aren't they good that they're assimilating into our culture? But actually, now flip it, and always flip things, you know, go from exclusive to inclusive. Now, having the Vietnamese community up there showing Vietnamese games and activities and teaching something about their culture is even more powerful. So that's a good indicator.
Very powerful, yeah. And giving, and so with that, obviously, we're respecting cultures, we're being very aware as well. How about with gift giving across cultures? Does that require some sensitivity? Like,
well, that's a very good question, because gift giving is one of those things that can have obviously some implications. Because let's say you're going overseas to visit a friend, I know the borders are still shut, but when we actually do travel, and then if you do have people from the community coming to your work site, someone from Indonesian background, for example, the best choice for them is obviously something Australian. Of course, you're not going to give them a bottle of wine, and also no big products, etc. So you have to be culturally sensitive. What is it about the people in that culture that is going to be offensive? So people from Iran, same thing. Iraq. So gifts that don't give gifts that can't be reciprocated. So if I'm going to give a friend from Iraq a gold watch, obviously if they can't reciprocate that, they'll be a bit offended. With the Israeli people, avoid the red and black colours because they were the colours of the Nazi flag. So don't wrap a gift in those colours, obviously. Or red and green and black because they were the colours of the Palestinian community. So again, for the Israeli people, that's offensive. Or avoid pork and make sure if you're going to give food, make sure it's got the little stamp on there that's saying it's kosher. Yeah. In Japan, if you're going to give a gift, make sure you use both hands to give the gift. For example, someone was in Korea. In countries like Thailand, make sure you don't give steak knives, they get very offended, and don't wrap things in black. In Vietnam, the Vietnamese people are quite enthusiastic gift givers, and they quite happily give you chocolates and things. So, you know,
Evan, you are truly, you know, like, we are really privileged and honored having you today in the studio, and 1 hour with you just flies away. But before we wind up this show, do you mind to share with our audience, everybody who is interested in training in multiculturalism, and how they can not just learn but benefit for everybody around us in this multicultural society, or perhaps they need a PI work from yourself, how they best contact you? What's the best contact details for yourself?
I've been going to talk about cultural stuff, culture issues, culture inclusive. People call me the culture man. So that's
culture man, okay. We're going to remember this culture man, yes?
So it's like branding, basically, so a bit of marketing for myself. So someone, say, in 2-3 weeks' time that's listening today and then thinks about something that I said and thinks, oh, what was the name of that guy that spoke to Mario, et cetera, about culture? Oh, the culture man, that's right. So they can ring you up and say, have you got the details of the culture man? But anyway, my details, I've got a very simple website. So it's SAPD, so South Australian Private Detectives is what it stands for, sapd.com.au. And within that is my phone number, and also my emails in there as well. So you can email me any questions. I'm happy to come and do training sessions about cultural issues and how to best...
Evan, thank you very much. To all listeners, that was Evan Frangelis from Adelaide exclusively. And if you would like to contact him, go on our website, www.sapd.com.au. It's Evan Ditas. Evan, thank you very much for being our guest. We are now due to go to news, and we're wishing you the wonderful weekend ahead. You and I